The message today is called The Distresses of Life. Now, I'm sure it's not a shock to anybody that we have problems in our lives each and every day, right? But the bottom line is, you know, what is it that happens when those distresses come upon our lives, and what do we do when we have those situations, right? This is really a great psalm, and I don't know that we're going to finish this entirely today, but if we don't finish it today, then go home and read the rest of the psalm. I guarantee you it'll lift your spirits. It really will. I just know it. You can, don't take my word. I mean, that's God's word. That's what it's here for, right? All right, so it starts off, it says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now that's great in itself, right? So we have an issue that we cry before the Lord, and he inclines his ear to hear what we're saying, right? But it doesn't continue that way. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Well, you know, when these issues come upon you, and, you know, this person was alone at this point in time. So he cried unto God. And that's a great thing. That's what we should do. When issues of life come up, that's really the first thing we should do. And, you know, I mentioned in the past that, you know, I'm as bad as everybody else. I've had issues where, you know, they've kind of bowled me over like a steamroller, and then you know, you try to recover, like crawl onto your knees, get up and try to continue on, and but the problems don't go away, and you know, you feel like you're overwhelmed, and I continue in those things like recently for like a good week. And then finally realized, like, hey, what the heck am I doing? I didn't just turn to God and say, hey, God, you know, this is bigger than I can deal with. You know, I need your hand of comfort on this situation. This person entreats God. But then it says, and refused to be comforted. Well, then what did you go to God for? I mean, if you're having problems in your life, and you go to God, I mean, you could say, God, I want you to take my problem away, but, you know, is that really the thing that is going to be of benefit to you in the long run? Because, you know, he may take that one issue out of your life, but how many of you are going through more than one issue in life right now? I mean, you can raise your hand. I mean, wow, just one of you? That's great. Well, all right, then I guess we don't need this. Okay. Folks, I'm going through more than one, but you know, this is the way life is, right? And you know, we sang that song, though Satan should buffet, right? I mean, that's the whole problem right now, is he's buffeting all the time, and we can't attribute everything that happens in our lives that we don't like to Satan, but you know, there are a lot. So when we look at this person, there's some odd things about this. The writing of this that I didn't know, and I had to do some investigation. When I read this on the surface, he says, you know, I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night and ceased not. Now, of course, when I read that, by nature, I just think, oh, he must have had a physical ailment, right? So he had a sore. I think of it in my mind as like an open lesion, right? So it ran in the night. So it was like it didn't want to stop bleeding or whatever was happening, right? And I don't want to get disgusting and everything, but that's how I read it. But, you know, it wasn't making sense in the context of the verse. So I had to go and start looking at this and find out, you know, why is this confusing to me? And what was happening was that word sore can mean a whole lot of things in the Hebrew. And, you know, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do go and look in the Hebrew dictionary, and I look at it. And One of the translations of that word is a hand. So he says his hand ran in the night. Now, of course, ran, we think of it as a verb, right? So there's movement. But the had to look that one up too. And that means to be stretched forth. So then when I read it and I understand this guy is entreating God, he's praying to the Lord, we see that, right? We extend our hand. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to do this, but he's extending his hands unto God. Like we've seen this happen, right? Where people are in distress and they cry out to God, right? And they put their hands up like this. And that was the whole idea. So it can mean this, obviously, as well as can be that he had some kind of a physical ailment. I mean, something was obviously bothering this person as he penned this psalm. And, you know, ultimately, all I know right now is that he's definitely entreating God on this behalf. But the problem is that he entreats God, but then he doesn't seem to want God's help. So do we ever do that? I mean, have you ever had a problem in your life and you say, oh, Lord, take this problem away. And then, you know, what's the next thing you do? You call somebody and say, hey, you know what? I got this problem. And, you know, I don't know what to do. What do you think? And then, you know, they give you some advice. And then you call the other person because you want to see, like, is their advice going to agree with the advice you just got? Now you got two different opinions on what you should do. And then, you know, now you need to call a third person because now you got to see, well, which one of them is right? And hopefully you don't get a third answer, right? Then you're lost. Well, you know, that's the problem when we do stuff like that. If we entreat God and say, you need to handle this, Lord, I can't do this on my own, then leave it in God's hands and God will take care of it. See, you can stretch your hands forth unto God, but stretch him forth and say, here, take this, and let him take it. But this person doesn't want to be comforted. Now, that's problematic, right? Now, when you end up having a situation like that, let me say this first. So he refused to be comforted. There's another section of scripture that talks about not the same situation, but these words are in that section of scripture. It's in the book of Jeremiah. And hold your place here in Psalms, because we're going to come back here. But Jeremiah chapter 31. So this is one of those sections where, you know, we know Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah is asked to go and tell the nation of Israel that they've walked away from the Lord. All kinds of judgments going to come upon them. They don't like to hear that, and they get really angry with him. But he kind of gives this little prophetic view in verse... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. Okay. Chapter 31, verse 15. It says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Does this sound familiar? It should, because this is out of the Gospel of Matthew. If you turn over to Matthew, it was prophetic in that he was speaking of something that was going to be happening in the future. And Matthew chapter 2, I mean, it's a terrible thing, but, you know, God doesn't just gloss over terrible things and just tell us all the wonderful things. He tells us everything that we need to know. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, what we have is we have the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, and we know Herod was really unhappy that the Jews were looking for their king, right? So he was expecting that a man was going to come into the city and that he was going to try to overthrow Herod. So Herod was always on guard looking for a man that was going to try to become king. Well, it turned out that it wasn't a man. It was the King Jesus Christ when he came. And it's really interesting that Matthew would be the one to do that, because we had a conversation about Matthew last time, and Matthew is the one who portrays Jesus as king. So in here, in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." So see, Jeremiah, way back, I believe over 600 years prior, spoke of a time that was going to come where Rachel here really isn't speaking of a particular woman, but it's speaking of an area in the area of Bethlehem, where the people there were going to weep, and they could not be comforted because their children were not. That was where Herod ordered the soldiers to go out and kill every male child under the age of 2, because he had found out that the king that they were looking for was going to be born as a baby. So, you know, you can imagine a great slaughter like that would happen. And then it says that that area could not be comforted because of what had just happened. Well, that's an extreme situation, right? But, you know, it's not so extreme that we can't understand it, because there are times in life where we have problems that come up. And, you know, by no means am I going to equate what happened to me that I was just talking about to the death of a child or many children. But, you know, sometimes these things overwhelm us, and they kick our focus off of God and all that he is doing, has done, and will do onto the problem. And when that happens, you know, we can talk to a brother or sister in the Lord, and they'll try to comfort us. That's what they want to do, right? That they feel the need to do that, right? Oh, you're in need, right? That's the love in the heart of the children of God, that they want to reach out and touch somebody and say, "Look, I feel your pain. I understand." Well, you know, we hope that they understand. Many times they'll say they understand, but you're not sure they do. And that becomes the problem, right? So when we look at these distresses of life, there are ways in which we can handle a distress in our lives the right way and the wrong way. And this person, he kind of, in the psalm that we were reading, he handled it the right way, and then it quickly went wrong. So he had the problem in his life. He went to God. He said, "I need your help." And then as soon as he did that, he says, "But I could not be comforted." So, you know, what that means, and folks, we've been there. I'm sure if you haven't been there, you will be there at some point in your life. Things come up in your life, and, you know, one thing that I know, God purposely allows these things to come into our lives and test our faith. Are we going to handle it well, or are we not going to handle it well? And usually what happens is that, you know, scriptures start to come to mind, right? Oh, I remember, you know, the story of so-and-so who went through a situation like this, right? Or we remember a friend in the church, a brother or sister in the church had a similar situation. And we call them up and we say, "Look, I know you had to go through this. Can you tell me, you know, how you handled this?" And then, you know, that's where I said earlier that God brings people together for the purpose of them being able to provide for the needs of each other. Not just a husband and a wife, which is a wonderful thing, but also members of the body of Christ. Not necessarily all in this church, but we can have members of the body of Christ in other churches. Folks, even when we have prayer requests, we have prayers that are requested to other churches, so they are praying for the same issues we are praying for. That's the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to all be members of God's family. So there is no division that, oh, we're Grace Gospel Church, but that's, you know, so-and-so church, and this is so-and-so church. We don't want anything to do with them. They just keep taking our people away, you know? And as soon as that happens, then I get less money in the coffers, and that's not good for me, right? Well, I don't care about that. What I care about is that I have warm people sitting in these pews, and they want to hear the truth of God's word. So if you hear it and you're edified and you like it, you might go out and tell somebody, hey, that was a really good message. And not to my glory, but to God's glory, and say, look, I know it's going to be on our website. You should listen to this. It'll really lift your spirits. That's really the hope of why we even bother coming together, right? So we'll talk about these things, and then hopefully, you know, they don't just go in one ear and out the other, but you'll say, oh, I remember when we had the message on this, and oh, I know this is what I'm supposed to do in that situation. Go to God, and then stay right there with God, and say, walk alongside me, Lord. I'm going to need your help. My strength is not sufficient for me to do this, right? But what happens is, you know, we jump in, right? We have a testimony time. People say, I have this situation that's going on. And we jump in and we say, oh, I think I can help. And we call them up after church and we have an hour and a half discussion on the phone. And when we're done, we were like, wow, I didn't get the impression they were too receptive. Have you had that situation happen where you've done that? I mean, not even on the phone, talk to somebody, right? And you can just see the wall is there, right? They don't even want to hear what you have to say. Your conversation won't be an hour and a half at that point, I guarantee it. You can tell right away that the ears are not open to hear something. You know, that's not a problem. That person is not ready to receive what you feel that you're there to help provide. And that's okay. See, there's a point where I'm not going to say that what this psalmist was doing was right, because he went directly to God. But if it would have said, you know, oh, I went to, you know, King David and, you know, entreated him on this behalf, that's what the kings were there for in the past. They were supposed to be men of God that I could bring my problem to. And in the wisdom of God that king was supposed to have, he was supposed to be able to impart something unto me that would help me to walk out of his presence knowing this was going to be resolved. That was an example of our king who was in heaven, who we would be able to go to and entreat him, knowing that I could leave it in his presence and he would impart the necessary wisdom when I needed it to be able to do whatever I needed to do. See, none of this is a surprise, folks. We just don't learn from the past. So we end up continuing to do these things over and over and over again. So, you know, this psalmist, he went to God and then it said he would not be comforted. He was the person that we went to and said, I know what you need. In the book of Psalms, this. In the book of Proverbs, that. In Galatians, this. You know, I can tell you that these are important scriptures on comfort when you're going through these trials. And, you know, the wall goes up and they don't want to hear it. And then what happens? You walk away feeling like, well, that was a waste of my time, right? And well, I'm not going to bother doing that again. So, you know, what just occurred? They're walking through a distress in their life that's bringing them into the pits. And they just brought you into the pits with them because you took it personal. See, I'm hammering both people here, folks. You got the person who's in the distress, and you got the person who's trying to help them out of the distress. But then what do? We get angry because they didn't want to hear the wisdom that God had given me over the years that would help them in this situation. Well, you know, we have to reach a point in our maturity where we understand sometimes we don't know what they're going through. And when you ask them, they may tell you this, but the problem is really this. And they don't want to tell you the whole problem. Sometimes the whole problem is a little embarrassing, or sometimes the whole problem is something that they don't want everybody to know about. So they tell you this, and you think, oh, that's easy. I know exactly what scriptures would help you with that. But see, if we don't know the whole problem, then we end up, we try to give them a little antibiotic on their cut and think that it's going to solve the problem. Here's an antibiotic and a Band-Aid. Put that over the cut and everything will be fine in a few days. But, you know, the problem is really that they have a compound fracture and the bone is sticking through the leg. And putting a little ointment and a Band-Aid on it isn't going to help. But we don't know that. So we have to be sensitive to what's going on in their life. If they're willing to share, that's great. If they're not willing to share, that tells me that they're still working through a few issues. So you let them know. When you reach a point when you want to talk, let me know. And then I'll be there for you. See, sometimes that's all people need to know. I care. I'm praying for you. When you need, reach out to me and I'll be there. And they'll be more receptive to that than you're preaching to them, you know. And that sounds terrible for a preacher to say that, but, you know, that's sometimes the case. Now, what will happen when people are not comforted? I mean, this can happen in a home situation where you have, every member of the house is saved. And one member has a problem, and they start to get depressed. They start to feel overwhelmed, and the anguish and the anger starts to rise up in them. And what happens? They take it out on their family members, right? They take it out on anybody that will be in the nuclear zone, right? The fallout area of what it is when they explode, right? So, you know, it causes everybody to have a problem now. And that's not right. That's the wrong part of this person. The right part is that they weren't ready, and the right part was that they went to God. The wrong part is they don't want to be comforted. See, some people, and folks, I know people like this, I'm sure you do too, they have problems in their lives, and they relish those problems. They love to come to you and say, "Oh, you know what just happened to me on the weekend?" And then they go through this whole thing and they tell you, but they don't want you to tell them anything. They just want to tell you all the problems. And then Tuesday they come in and they tell you everything that happened on Monday. And, you know, you're wondering, like, isn't this person ever happy? And, you know, but there are people like that. I don't know what it is. They love their problems. They want to keep those problems. Those problems, they wear them like they're an emblem, right? They're medals I carry on my chest, right? But, you know, you don't, who wants that? You know, at some point, you know, Pilgrim's Progress comes to mind, right? You have, in his case, he's got the sins that he has committed. They're all in his backpack, and he's walking around with them, and every time there's another sin, another weight goes into his backpack, and it gets heavier and heavier, and that's how it is. If you begin to relish the things that are causing you distress and heartache and trial, you're just weighing yourself down, and at some point, you're going to fall down, and you're going to be crushed by the weight of that stuff. You got to let that stuff go. So this person wasn't ready for that. They cried to God and they said, I'm not going to be comforted in this. So, you know, they weren't ready to let go of whatever that problem was. Now, we're going to read, if I said hold your spot there in Psalms 77. Oh, yeah, and I didn't. So, okay, let me go back. Psalm 77. Where we were when we began. So we read the first two verses. Now, we're going to read verses 3-9. So as he continues, he refused to be comforted. He says, "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more?" See, folks, we've seen people like this, right? We've had people in our church who have walked out of the church because they've had problems in their lives, and what do? They blame God, right? "I gave my life to you, Lord. How come you're doing this to me? And they get angry with God. And then they think, well, I'm not going to follow that God because this is what he's doing to me. But you know, it never fails to amaze me. This guy started to remember the days of old. Well, you know what? If I remember the days of old, I can remember looking at God's word here, and I see the things that God has said in days past, right? Of what man has done, what man is like. And when I remember that, then I remember what I am. But, you know, when he turns to himself, and he says, in my spirit and in mine own heart, in verse 6, he made a diligent search. Well, that was the first problem. When you have a problem, don't look in, because you're not going to find an answer there. The problem in you is what caused the problem in the first place. So you got to look out. So he was looking in the wrong spot. And what did that do? That caused him to doubt God. Now, you know, he doubts God, but begins to wonder, like, why is God doing this to me? Well, I think about that and I say, you know, God has a book here where he has promises and he has promised blessings and he has curses. He has the chastisement that comes when you do things wrong. Well, why is it when things go wrong in our lives, we truly believe that God is chastising me? He's just angry with me and he's doing all these things to me, but I forget all the blessings. So, you know, when we do that, that's the problem. We're looking inside. I'm looking at my problem and I'm saying, you know, this is crazy. I can't deal with this problem on my own, and God is crushing me with all of this stuff. But the real fact is that you need to look to him and say, what have you done in the past for me? And what is it that you're telling me is yet to come? See, when you, there was a song that was sung today. It talked about something in the light. And I always, when I hear that phrase in my mind, I always think of that human phrase, like, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? So when I think of that, you know, you can go through a lot of problems and then there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Well, the light at the end of the tunnel for a Christian is Jesus Christ. So when we go through our problems, we should put our focus on him, see the light, and then continue to do what I'm supposed to do and walk towards that light. Not look at the darkness around me and say, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming, it's terrible. But that's what we do. And we get off track. We get overwhelmed. We get distraught, to get distressed. And it causes health issues, causes all kinds of problems, right? We don't need any of that. We need to let all those burdens go and let God handle them. Now, sometimes the problems that happen in our lives are problems that we cause ourselves. And I'm really going to cause myself a lot of grief here because I don't have a lot of time. But I'm just going to put it this way. We have sin in our lives. And, you know, I don't say that to make anybody feel bad. We're all sinners. We are all sinners, folks. Some are saved by grace. Some continue to sin and enjoy their sin. But, you know, when you're a sinner and God has forgiven your sins, he hasn't just forgiven the sins that you used to have or the sins that you're currently doing, but he forgave all your sins. He forgave your sins that are going to even happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now if he hasn't returned, but I pray he does. You know, his death on the cross was for the sins of all mankind. Sins, all sin. So, you know, do we not think that Jesus Christ was able to pay the price for all sin? So, you know, why would he pay the price just for your sins that you did prior to getting saved? That wouldn't do you any good, because tomorrow you're going to sin again. So, you know, we are that nature of sin We are that sin nature. So we're going to sin. That's the kind of people we are. We hope that as we continue to become more and more like him, that we sin less. But we're going to continue to sin. But, you know, in the meantime, we repent. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I know I should know better, but I did. And because of that, I come to you and I ask for your forgiveness. He's going to forgive you. That's a good thing. Why would we carry the guilt of that around when he's already forgiven it? If you're saved, if you put your faith and trust in him, if you haven't, I'm going to tell you right now, that guilt will crush you because you're going to continue to carry that guilt day after day after day. And as you continue to sin, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So there is a day, and most of us have probably experienced this, where it overwhelms us and we are like, you know, we reach a point where we say, I cannot do this anymore. Lord, please forgive me. And just like in Pilgrim's Progress, you know, that weight on his back just fell right off, and he felt like a new person because he was a new person. So we are a new person in Christ when we come to him and we ask him to forgive us our sins. And with that, the weight of everything we've been carrying around all the time falls off of our back, and we start a new life with him. Now, when we remember that, see, these are the things that we have to do. When we get to that point where, I don't have time to go into all that, but let me give you an example. If you've read the scriptures, you know that Israel had a lot of problems in their history. They would follow God. They would walk away from God. They would follow God. They would walk away from God. They would be blessed by God when they followed him. They would be chastised by God when they didn't. So at some point, the Lord allows them to be overrun by the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he, attacks their country. He attacks the northern kingdom, attacks the southern kingdom. Then at some point, Nebuchadnezzar, he's got this huge empire, and he looks at everything around him. You know, Babylon, we think of Babylon because of, you know, scripture as this really terrible, sinful place, right? But it was a beautiful place. Remember the seven gardens of Babylon? They were like beautiful. They were a natural wonder of the world. You could say whatever you want about Nebuchadnezzar, but he had a green thumb. No, it wasn't him, but he enjoyed the pleasure of watching the beauty of God's creation all around him. But unfortunately, he didn't give any credit to God. So he had this great empire, and he stood out there and he said, look at everything my hands have done for me. And scripture says, before he even finished speaking those words, God smote him and turned him into a beast. And he ended up, you know, being put out into the field, as it would be, and he grazed grass, and it talks about how his whole body was transformed so that he had feathers, he had spikes, he had all kinds of nasty-looking things coming out of his body. And it says he was like that for 7 years. Now, in my human understanding, I'm like, wow, that's really weird. Why didn't anybody overthrow his kingdom when the king was in this state, right? But I don't know. But see, that was God. God knew what it was going to take to change that man's heart. And God preserved his kingdom until that happened. And after 7 years, it says that he lifted up his eyes and acknowledged who God was, and God restored his kingdom unto him and his health. Now, you know, people say that's a fairy tale. You don't actually believe that. No, I do, because it's written right here in God's word, and I believe everything that's written in this book. But Nebuchadnezzar had a pride issue, and pride is a sin. And sometimes when we have these distresses in our lives, they're caused by sin that we commit. And having a brother or a sister come to you and say, you know, well, you know what, you know, they understand the outcome of that, what your problem is, but they don't understand what's caused the problem. No one says, well, you know, I'm a really prideful person and I really deserve all of this. Can you help me with that? No, they just say, here's my problem. I think God is unhappy with me. What can I do? And then, you know, we try to help them, but we don't know the cause. So we have to understand the cause. And sometimes when we don't, and we are trying to help them, what we're actually doing is we're fighting against God. God is saying, I need to chastise them because I love them and I need to bring them back to me. But we're trying to help them on the other side and we're pulling them back saying, oh, come this way. And God's saying, no, they need to come this way because this is what's best for them. See, it's that whole wisdom thing, right? God knows what is best. We don't. We see this little piece. See, I've only lived a short while. So, you know, I only have, you know, the life experiences that I have for these decades that I've lived. And when I see things, I can only see them on how, you know, my life experience allows me to see those things. But God is outside of time. God, he was there in the beginning when he spoke everything into creation. God already knows how it's going to end. Isn't that amazing? He's just waiting for time to play out so that he can say, all right, now it's going to be fulfilled, that everything that I wanted to happen will happen. So we're walking along this timeline somewhere, and I'm this little sliver on God's timeline of, you know, 6,000-7,000 years, and I think I'm so wise, I'm going to help this person. But God's saying, no, I know what's best. So I know it's best because I know that in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, in 3 months, this person is going to have a heart change, and that's what they needed. Sometimes that's what they needed when they lose a loved one, right? And they harden their heart. They don't want to talk about God anymore. They see the suffering that their loved one went through, and they say, no, if there's a loving God out there, I don't want any of this. But God says, I can work on that hard heart and I can soften it, but it's going to take a little time. So when they reach this point here, I know they're going to come around. And you pulling on the other side is only delaying the inevitable, and that's not good. So we have to be, it's a tough spot to be in when we're trying to be of help. And, you know, we try to do what the scripture says, where we love our brother, right? But We need to be sure that we're not fighting against God at the same time. So, you know, it's a crazy place for me to end this message, but that's kind of the gist of where we're at. Then I kind of thought it was going to take more than one message, but I was hoping we would be able to move faster than this, but I talked too much. So we're going to have to do the second part next time, but just understand, in the interim, As the week goes on and these trials come in your life, do what is right. Reach out to God. Give him the problem. And in this next week, when you come together next Sunday, if the Lord doesn't take us home, then, you know, we'll have a testimony where you'll be able to say, you know what, Pastor, I did that. And my problem didn't go away, but I had peace in my problem. God comforted me in that problem. And I will be happy to hear that. So do that, and, you know, that's your homework for the week. And then we'll see what happens when we come back together in a week. All right, we'll close. Lord, your word is so great, and that's because you had it written, Lord. And, you know, men penned it, Lord, but you were the one that inspired man to write it. And the wisdom that you have goes far beyond our wisdom, Lord. And because of that, we can put our faith and trust in it, just as we put our faith and trust in you. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with everyone that is here today, Lord. Bless the remainder of the day. Bless all that we do. And may our lives continue to be a testimony of your greatness to all that we encounter throughout this day and throughout this week. So, Lord, we give you credit, you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.